So Friday, just a couple days ago, is the Feast of the Epiphany. It's when we celebrate the Magi coming to bear gifts to Jesus. And it's Jesus' physical manifestation, actually, to the Gentiles. The Magi weren't Jewish. Now, we didn't have a separate service on Friday, so I really wanted to kind of squeeze in Epiphany. Really, I just couldn't pass it up, right? We can't just skip a feast day. So I'm just skipping it, or just squeezing it in. Because this feast day is actually the transition for us from Christmas to Epiphany. Over Christmas, we sing this very traditional and treasured hymn that tells us of the stories of the three kings, the story of the three kings. Now, they weren't really kings. They were most likely very scholarly astronomers. And they followed a star. The kings brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to honor Jesus. They came from the east in search for a child that they were told was born king of the Jews. They followed a bright star. They had no idea where they were going. They had no idea where they'd end up, but they followed the star. That star led them. Star of wonder, star of bright, star of royal beauty, bright. Westward leading, that star guided them to Jesus, the perfect light. I brought some shiny stars for you today, and I told you not to touch them, but now you can touch them. These are star words. And these star words are actually becoming a tradition in a lot of churches right now for Epiphany. So every star word has on the back of it a label with a word. And that word is just for you. There are no duplicates. So that word is just for you. And it's a word for you to pay attention to throughout the year. Let this new word, this star word, lead you to maybe new understanding or epiphanies about yourself or about others or about the world around you. And then consider what significance that word has for you. Maybe think of it as a word that God chose for you. A star that might reveal Jesus in a new and different way. So I invite you to take a little time. You can do this during the service, not during the sermon, but during the service. Take time to just look. Don't pick one just really quickly. Look at them and see if one maybe just draws your attention or calls out to you. And then take it. But there are two rules. You can't peek. No peeking. Look at them. Whatever you touch is your star. Now the other rule is, if you don't like the word, you can't put it back. Cindy and I had this conversation because my word is integrity. I don't want that word. And I just couldn't put it back. Darn it. So that's Epiphany. And now we're just going to move right on to the baptism of Jesus. In the blink of an eye, Jesus has grown into a grown man. And he's going to get baptized. Not surprisingly, every gospel writer tells this story just a little bit differently. And actually, John doesn't even really directly tell the story. In Matthew's account, and we're going to be spending time in Matthew now, in Matthew's account, John the Baptist has just explained to all of his followers that he was baptizing with water for repentance. The one coming after him was going to be more powerful and was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And before you know it, Jesus showed up right there on the banks of the river, and he wanted to be baptized. which for John didn't make any sense. But that's a whole other sermon. I could just go on and on about why John didn't want to baptize Jesus. But John baptized Jesus. Much to his chagrin, he baptized his cousin, just like he baptized many other people. Jesus stepped into the murky waters of the Jordan River, just like so many other people had done before. He was submerged and raised up just like so many other people who came to be baptized. But unlike everyone else, Jesus was manifested as the Son of God at his baptism. You see, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like a dove, and God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." Who was God talking to? Was God talking to everyone that was in earshot that day of what was happening? That could have been a lot of people. Or was God talking solely to Jesus? Were the words just for Jesus alone? And no one else heard them? Well, on the one hand, Scripture suggests that God's revelation was for Jesus only, because it reads, "And when John had been baptized, just as he came up out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." But on the other hand, God's words were more like a proclamation, really, to a crowd. "This is my beloved Son," rather than, "You are my beloved Son." So kind of like the Jordan River, that's a little murky. But that's okay. That's not necessarily a bad thing. This ambiguity kind of helps us see something more, maybe. Something that is just as important as who God is talking to, because that is important. But what happens when we step back? There's something very important, and that is that God has a voice. God has important things to say and to make known, and sometimes God chooses words. God's words at Jesus' baptism were important. They were transformative and life-changing words. They were words that launched Jesus' public ministry. They were words that started the Jesus movement. Yesterday, there were somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people gathered in Sherwood Hall in Salinas to hear our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, and the Reverend Canon Stephanie Spellers talk about the Jesus movement. It was a spectacular day. We sang songs and we listened to Bishop Curry preach. We ate. We did some more singing. We listened to Canon Stephanie preach. We talked to each other. We listened to each other, we prayed, and we sang some more. So I can tell you that Canon Stephanie has a great set of lungs, and she has a lot of energy, so much so that she had Bishop Mary on the stage dancing. There will be a video, and I encourage you to go and look, and then you can email Bishop Mary and say, "Wow, you're a really good dancer." It was a glorious day. During the preaching, you could hear people say, "Uh-huh," and "Yeah," and "Mm-hmm." People were calling out, "Amen," and "Yes, Lord." This was not your typical Episcopal conference. It was Spirit-filled. It was inspiring and emotional. It was just like an old-time revival. Have you ever heard of an Episcopal revival? Yeah. So hear the little tinge of sarcasm here. In spite of Bishop Curry's very, very busy schedule, he stays very current with the lectionary. Believe it or not, he knew that today was the baptism of Jesus. And he talked about it. He talked about baptism, and he talked about Jesus' baptism. He said that, and I quote, "The reason Jesus got baptized, and the reason the dove descends, and the Father speaks from heaven, is that Jesus was being placed at the head of the Jesus movement." God has a voice, and God spoke to Jesus on the day that he was baptized. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus took these words into the wilderness with him. And Jesus took these words to the cross with him. They are important words. God has a voice. God spoke to the people who witnessed Jesus' baptism that day. "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." God said, "Pay attention, follow him, watch what he does, listen to what he says, watch how he lives, and be like him." God has a voice. God speaks to us, to our brothers and sisters on this earth, and says, "This is my child, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Watch her. She embodies my love. Look at him. You will see his face. Follow them. Be part of the Jesus movement." When we listen to God and believe that we are God's beloved, and we turn that love outward, we are marching to the Jesus movement and showing people what God's love looks like. When we listen to God, and God tells us that we are God's beloved, and that God is pleased with us, then we are empowered to live into our baptismal covenant. It's a hard thing to do. We can't do it without God. So Bishop Curry, knowing that many of us were going to be renewing our baptismal covenant today, warned us very playfully. He said, "You may not want to say that tomorrow when you read it carefully. That's movement language." Well, we're not going to heed Bishop Curry's warning. We are going to renew our baptismal covenant today. Renewing this covenant reminds us that we should live our lives in such a way that we reflect Jesus' life. That's the movement, and it's a movement that can change the world. God has a voice. God has important things to say, and sometimes God uses words. So consider the words God spoke to Jesus the day of his baptism. "You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Because those words are for you too. Choose a star word and take it home. And then wonder throughout the year, what is God saying to you? Are you listening? And then how are you going to share what you hear so that others will know that you are part of the Jesus movement? How will you share what you hear so that others will want to be part of the Jesus movement. God has a voice. Listen. You have a voice. And I just invite you to use it and spread the good news of the gospel. Amen.